Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I am your host, J.A., the Managing Director and co-founder of Cover That Spread. And as usual, I am joined by Cacacho. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
I got into the studio a little late, so we didn't have a chance to really do our normal prep and all that other stuff. But, hey, we're here now. We are live. So things are looking good. On today's show, we are going to kick off with a little soccer talk. We are going to have a little college basketball talk, a little NBA talk, a little MLB talk. So we have got a lot going on today. Let's get into this. First off, we had the NCAA tournament final and Final Four going on. The Final Four was great. We had the Duke blowing out Michigan State. We had the big upset of Wisconsin versus over Kentucky, and we were on both of those. We had Duke covering, we had Wisconsin covering, and I did a side bet that was not an official one of Wisconsin winning outright. They got that. And we also had another official bet, which was, would we have the over on the Wisconsin-Kentucky game. That one hit as well. So we had a really nice Final Four going. Then came the championship game. And, you know, say whatever you want to about Wisconsin, about the officiating, say whatever you want to about that entire game. The point is, Wisconsin choked that game away. If you would have told me going into it that Wisconsin had a 9-point lead and Okafor and, is it Watson or the other big freshman that they had on Duke, both those guys would be on the bench, down 9 points with about 10 minutes to go, I think everybody would have agreed Wisconsin was going to win that game. They did not. They folded. They fell behind. They lost. They blew it. So that was the championship game. We had the over and Wisconsin at pick. It got all the way up to Wisconsin minus one. So, you know, there was a lot going on there. I personally was a little disappointed with Wisconsin, but when you really look at the bigger picture, they went three straight games. They beat Arizona. They beat Kentucky. I mean, in my opinion, them, Kentucky, and Arizona were the three best teams in the tournament going into it. So the fact that they beat the two teams that were right there with them, you know, it's really not a surprise that by the time they got to Duke, they just kind of run out of gas. And you definitely see it with Decker. He did not have a good game. What was your thought, Petracho, on the game overall?
Yeah, I agree with you 100% with Wisconsin choking that one away. I will say, however, that we did discuss it at the beginning, how Duke and Gonzaga were going to have the easiest bracket. So I think with Wisconsin having a tougher time playing those teams, like you said, Arizona and Kentucky, especially at the end, I think Duke was a little more refreshed, I guess we could say, heading into the championship game. And they were kind of under the radar because of the fact that they were playing in a weaker bracket and they didn't have as good of a record as Duke did, I mean, as Wisconsin did this year or Kentucky. So when it came down to it, I think Duke was a little fresher heading into the game. And like you said, Wisconsin was running out of gas. But had anyone told me they'd be up by nine with Winslow and Okafor on the bench, I would have liked it right there. And I would have live bet it if I would have had the opportunity at the time for them to win the game as well.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention, but I really wish I would have been on the live lines to see what when the score was at, when Wisconsin was up 9 points, wish I would have seen what the live lines were, because that would have been the time to jump on Duke. You probably could have gotten them at plus like 150, maybe even plus 200, you know, just throwing a couple numbers out there, and maybe even a little higher than that. You could have done a really small bet and hedged both the Wisconsin play and the over, and, you know, at least would have broken even, wouldn't have lost anything on the night, but... But that is how it goes. We lost a little bit. That was a tough way to go out on the college basketball season, especially since we had had a really nice run for a little stretch there during the tournament. So that, you know, that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And I was telling someone else that didn't feel like I really missed out that much on that championship game because I had hit the big game with, you know, I basically hit it big by taking Wisconsin on the money line the game before that in the Final Four. So I, by doing that, I kind of like cashed in as much money as I needed to on Wisconsin when you look at it more of the bigger picture. So losing right there didn't hurt that bad. Unfortunately, that Wisconsin money line play was not an official play for our client. So, you know, that's just something that, that I've got to remember going forward, getting that out to them. But that'll take care. So that takes care of the NCAA. We've got till next November, late November, till they start up again. And, you know, looking forward to getting in again on another season when the time comes. But outside of that, we also have some soccer going on. And you were telling me that, you know, soccer's kind of coming to a close. A lot of the different leagues are, a lot of the different seasons are. So tell us, just do a little explanation of where soccer is being played for the next couple of months, how the end of the season kind of winds down, and any games that you're looking at.
So right now the major leagues over in Europe are nearing the end of the season. They'll be done about mid-May. So that would be the English Premier League, the Spanish La Liga, the Italian National League, the German Bundesliga. These, you know, are the bigger ones where we're getting a lot of the Champions League finalists coming out of year in and year out. So those ones kind of follow a basketball schedule, you could say, where, you know, they're starting in October and they go until about May where the season ends. And I know we had discussed it before, they don't have a playoff system. They just go by points based off of their wins, draws, and losses. So with that being said, there's a few games to take a look at heading into the end of the season. A couple of interesting ones that I jotted down were Tottenham against Aston Villa coming up. Aston Villa is just outside of the relegation zone, which means that the bottom three teams in the English Premier League will drop down into the Championship League, it's called in England. So with them sitting just outside and Tottenham is sitting just outside another European League tournament qualifier. So I like Tottenham to win that game because they have a little more to lose. If they were to fall out, even though Aston Villa would be dropping down because of the fact that Aston Villa is playing in the FA Cup. So I think their focus is going to be more on winning that because their season is kind of a loss already. A couple other games to look at. We have Arsenal, who's really hot right now. That line's kind of moving as far as the goals are concerned, but that would be a game that I would be on and I will be tweeting this weekend some picks for our listeners and for the followers of thespread.com, coverthatspread.com. So be looking out for those. But my play for tonight, again, I know I've been high on it, we've talked about it before, is Corinthians down in Brazil. That league is just starting, so that one kind of goes over the summer into November is when the final is, similar to what the MLS does here in the United States and North America. So Corinthians will be playing against Piracicaba tonight in the Brazilian Campeonato Paulista. And they are actually at a pick at the time I checked it. So I took the money line at that at plus 117. So that's one that I would urge anyone listening or anyone following the Twitter account to go ahead and get on that game as soon as possible.
All right, Corinthians. Plus, I love plus money. It's a big reason that I do like betting on soccer. So that is always some nice action to have right there. Now, you had said, you were talking a little bit about how they go up and down with the Premier and the Championship leagues in England. How many teams move up and down per year?
So it would be the three bottom teams from the English Premier League will drop down into the Championship League, and the top three teams from the Championship League would move up to the Premier League. So,
okay,
and
so
it's similar to that in each of the domestic leagues in Europe.
Okay, and how many? What's the turnover usually see per year, or like from year to year? Are we talking like, you know, it's the same three teams that move up?
No, there's some teams that once they drop down, they'll be down there for a few seasons. A lot of times, it kind of coincides with when a team is for sale, and maybe they've been struggling for the last few years, similar to Aston Villa right now. They just got purchased. They just got a new manager that came in. So things are kind of in flux for them, and they haven't been down in the second division since the leagues were split. So it'd be interesting to see them drop down, how long it would take them to come back up, or if they would be one of those teams that just kind of go flip-flops every year, where one year they would be in the Premier League, the next year they would be in the Championship League. So that's something to take a look at. Now, with that being said, like I like to talk about Corinthians all the time, a few years ago they were in the second division in Brazil. They dominated the second division because, I mean, they're such a strong team. They just happened to have some injury issues and some players who didn't pan out. But they got some new players in. They dominated the second division. I think they might have lost one game the entire season, where we're talking about, you know, 30-something games. And they made it back into the first division, and then they won the first division and the South American Championship the next year. So these are things that can happen. It's not very common for it to happen, especially over in Europe.
No, that works. That's a good explanation. I like that. So you've got Corinthians, you've got plus money. You said that kickoff's at 8 o'clock tonight Eastern time, so make sure you guys are getting in on that. We will be tracking that one. So on to the NBA. I've had a little bit of an issue with the NBA the last couple of weeks here, and I think a big reason of it is just coming down to the end of the season, you have teams that are trying to flop. You have teams that are fighting for a playoff spot that aren't very good. And you have teams that are good that have nothing to play for, so they are just kind of all over the board on what nights they actually decide to bring it and what nights they don't. What are you liking anything tonight in the NBA?
So a couple of interesting games that I jotted down, Chicago at Orlando. It's been rumored and it hasn't, you know, been set yet, but they are saying that Derrick Rose will return tonight and play about 20 minutes. And coming off of that loss on Sunday to the Cavs, I like the Bulls to kind of rebound. And with a little added push from Rose, dominate against Orlando. The line was at -7 just an hour ago when I checked it, and now it's up to 7.5 for the Bulls. So I think that's an interesting one. They have struggled against Orlando because Orlando is kind of a youthful up-and-coming team. But I still like the Bulls in that game.
Is Orlando still pretty banged up right now? Because I know about a week or two ago, seemed like they had their entire team on the injury report.
You know, they don't have a very deep team right now, but their main guys are still active. So Oladipo, Elfrid Payton, the Nikola Vucevic, Tobias Harris, those guys are still playing. So those are kind of their big four down there. And Aaron Gordon, of course, the rookie from Arizona, he's still playing. So, I mean, they still have their young up-and-coming guys available, but they are missing some of the regular contributors.
All right. So you like the Bulls in that one. I think I do like them as well, just because the Bulls do kind of have some positioning to play for right now. And, you know, it's definitely important in the East, because you want to make sure that you are playing Cleveland, or you're waiting as long as you can to play Cleveland, because Cleveland is a team I think that can steamroll them in a series this season, you know, just kind of the way it goes. So, yeah, I like the Bulls in there. I like them pulling it out. Plus, you know, Thibs is going to have them playing hard to the end, which could be his downfall a lot of days. But, all right, so Bulls, it's at -7.5. I saw it open at -6.5, so it's definitely been creeping up all day. I'll go along with that one.
Another interesting Toronto one I jotted down. Yeah, did you like that one, the Toronto?
I don't really think I like Toronto in that game. And if I remember correctly, this game opened up a little higher, maybe like a 6-point spread. Right now it's down to 3.5. I kind of like Charlotte covering that 3.5, but I could, you know, I think I like the over 99 more than a cover of the spread. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I would lay off of betting on either team for that game, and I think you're right on with that spread of 199. I'd like to take an over on that as well, but betting on either team to win or lose, I would stay away from that one.
All right. Another one that I like on the over is, I believe it's that Phoenix-Dallas game. And I know that both teams have had their struggles lately. Phoenix has not gone over a lot. I think they've gone two overs and eight unders in their last 10 games. Dallas has been a scoring machine and a defensive, far from a defensive juggernaut. So I think if there's reason to play this over, it's because Dallas plays offense and has not been playing any defense. That's at 207. That's creeping up a little high for my liking. How do you feel about that game?
Yeah, I think the 207 may be a little high because Phoenix has in some games kind of struggled to score the ball, where Dallas, you know, hasn't really struggled to score the ball. But like you said, they've kind of been bad on the defensive end. But I think I may take the under in that game.
All right, then that's a solid pass for me. If we're both not feeling that one, I'm happy to pass. You also texted me earlier, you like Atlanta +5 at Brooklyn. It's moved down to +4. I was surprised by this line when it opened, and I don't know how I feel about it still. You know, just trying to figure out why Atlanta would have been made underdogs in this. I understand they have so much locked up in the East, there's really no point in them playing, but they still have to stay fresh and they still have to come out there and give a little bit of an effort. What was your reasoning for liking Atlanta?
Yeah, I think that Brooklyn had kind of been hot lately, but, you know, Atlanta destroyed them. I believe it was last Friday or Saturday. They just absolutely obliterated them by about 30 points or so, and then they followed that up with another 30-point win. So I liked Atlanta to cover that +5. I hadn't read anything about them holding out any players. I know Brooklyn is still kind of fighting for a playoff spot, but if Brooklyn were to win, I would think it would be a close game. I don't see Atlanta being a team that would foul if they're down by a couple points in the end. So the +5 was a big one that I would like Atlanta to cover. I know it's moved down to +4, makes it a little bit of a shakier bet, but I still like Atlanta in that game.
All right, moving on. Cleveland -6.5 at Milwaukee. This game, I want to say, opened at 7, maybe even 7.5. So people are buying Milwaukee down. What reason does Cleveland have to play here? And I believe Milwaukee can clinch a playoff spot with a win. So what's your reasoning like in Cleveland, other than the obvious LeBron James factor?
Yeah, I like Cleveland. I think they're still trying to put it together as far as the team's concerned heading into the playoffs. So a lot of teams, you know, like you said, with Atlanta, they kind of have things sewn up. They don't really need to play for anything. I think Cleveland is still kind of playing for their identity to see who they are heading into the playoffs. And Milwaukee is a possible opponent
heading into the playoffs, depending on how the seeding breaks down. Milwaukee does have a little bit more to play for because they're fighting for, I believe, the 6th or 7th seed with Brooklyn. So I like Cleveland to win this game by more than 6.5 because I think they're still going to be playing hard throughout. And they won 2 out of the 3 meetings already this year. The one game that they did lose was when LeBron was sitting out. So I'd look for Cleveland to rebound and go ahead and win this game as well.
Okay. Then the last game that you liked was Boston versus Detroit. You're liking Detroit +1.5 at home in the +105 money line. I kind of like that as well, just because I don't think Boston's playing as well on the road. Now, Boston does have a lot to play for because they are trying to get in that 8th seed to get into the playoffs. What's making you think Detroit has this game?
I think Detroit's been playing really well at home. They did have a losing streak there on the road, but since they've been home, they've been playing really well. I think they started at home 2-13, and since then they've won like 15 games at home or something like that, I believe. So I like Detroit to win this game. Like you said, Boston does have a lot to play for as far as securing a playoff spot is concerned, but I don't think they've been playing that great lately, and I do like Andre Drummond, Greg Monroe, Michael Carter-Williams, those guys at home, Reggie Jackson. I think they're playing well, and I'm sorry, not Michael Carter-Williams, but Reggie Jackson. I do like Detroit playing at home, and I think that's a good game where – you know, they might not be playing for a playoff spot, but they're playing for pride, and I think they can take control and beat Boston.
All right, and I'll go with that one. So right now we have 2 official plays. We're going to go Bulls -7.5. I'm sorry, 3. Detroit +1.5, and I am also going to jump on that Cleveland bandwagon because I think that is a nice line to be taking. Last game that I want to throw out there is Houston at San Antonio. San Antonio is 6-point favorites. Houston they've moved all the way up to the 2 spot in the West, I believe. And, you know, for me, I think Houston has to come out and play hard in this game because the last thing you want is to end up falling down to the 3, maybe even the 4, and end up getting San Antonio in a series. I just don't think that's something that Houston wants to do. Now, I don't know if they win this game, but the over-under is at 204. That seems low because San Antonio has been scoring a lot of points. Houston, we all know, scores a lot of points. Is James Harden out? Am I missing something on this game? Why is this total so low?
Yeah, I have not seen anything about Harden being out tonight. But like you said, I mean, that is kind of low. San Antonio has been scoring quite a few points. Houston can put up quite a bit of points. I don't think anyone is really out for Houston. I'm going to go ahead and double-check the news right now to see if maybe they're resting someone. It looks like Harden and Howard will both be playing tonight, but the power forward, Monta Yunus, or whatever his name is pronounced, he is out for the rest of the season. He had been a catalyst while Dwight Howard was out, but it looks like he's out, but Howard is ramping up his minutes, so I'm not sure why that total is so low.
All right, so do you like making a play on the over, or are you thinking that's a good one to stay away from just because we don't know why it's where it's at?
Well, right now Spurs are listing Tony Parker, Matt Bonner as questionable for tonight. So that may be why, because, you know, Parker has been playing pretty well lately. But I think with, you know, who San Antonio has on their team as far as their bench is concerned and how Popovich plays them, I think that over would probably be a good play.
All right. So let's go ahead and make that one an over as well. That gives us 4 plays on the evening. We did not do well last week. I'm going to throw that out there. We pretty much crashed and burned on all of our plays, but I like this card, so we're going to go ahead and do it. Let's get all these plays in. All right, and we are there. So Chicago -7.5, Detroit +1.5, Cleveland -6.5, Houston, San Antonio over 204. You also like Detroit on the money line, which if you're playing them +1.5, you may as well just take the money line as well. I'm not going to make that one an official play, but we are throwing that one out there as a very strong lean. So NBA, and you know what? Houston, San Antonio just went up to 204.5 as I'm placing this bet. So, something to think about. That line is on the move a little bit now. And that's definitely something to keep an eye on because I felt that was low. So if you guys want to get in on that, that tip-off is at 8:35 p.m. So try to get on that before it goes any higher and make sure you guys cover tonight. All right, that takes care of us in the NBA. Now we're going to move on to a little bit of baseball. So I had an early play that went out, which was Detroit. Money wasn't good. I think it was -160, 162, something along those, somewhere around there. Detroit destroyed Minnesota. Right now, I feel like fading Minnesota is a pretty solid play on just about any night of the week. Not a big fan of Detroit, but they're showing that they can definitely beat up on the weaker teams in the AL. And, they've done it for two games now, but I feel good about them beating up on a team like Minnesota. And any team that's going to be struggling offensively this year, I just think that although their pitching staff may have some struggles throughout the season in Detroit, they can definitely out-hit just about anybody. So made a play on that today. Got a couple other plays that I'm watching. I don't know what I want to make official, but the first game is going to be the Milwaukee Brewers -145. The reason I like this game, Milwaukee's opened up a three-game series at home against Colorado. They have lost the first two games. This is kind of my bounce-back theory, that if you think a team in baseball is going to either win two out of three on a three-game series or they're going to lose two out of three on a three-game series, those being the two most common outcomes. The sweeps just don't happen very often. So you have a team at home, and they've lost the first two games. Chances are they are going to bounce back. I think they have a much better pitcher on the mound. I can't believe I'm saying that about Willie Peralta. But that shows you what Colorado pitching staff right now. So I'm going to take Willie Peralta. The Brewers were at -145 earlier today. Let me see where they're at right now. I think I'm still liking the Brewers to cover. Do you have a thought one way or the other on the Brewers or the Rockies?
Yeah, I know we had played the over of 8 on that game the other day. Unfortunately, we hit it at 7. The Brewers weren't able to put a lot of runs on the board, but yeah, I'd like to stick with what you're saying and get that play in as well.
All right. That's Cincinnati, Pittsburgh's in a rain delay right now, so we will see. Well, I don't know what that means, actually, if that actually means they have a rain delay or what, but we'll have to keep an eye on that. Next game that I do like, I actually like Pittsburgh over Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is at -119. I don't know if that'll be an official play or not. Any thoughts on Gerrit Cole and Mike Leake?
I do not have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. I think I like the under in this one because I think Gerrit Cole can shut some people down. However, I think that in addition to Cole shutting him down, I don't think Pittsburgh has a very good offense. So kind of the reason I was leaning a little towards taking them in that game. Another game that I am keeping an eye on, San Francisco at Arizona. San Francisco is having some issues with their pitching staff. Guys are going down left and right. They are starting, I think it's Chris Heston tonight, who got very limited action last season. Do you put any kind of thought into a pitcher, a young pitcher that comes up? Would you think that he's going to shut down a team, or is he going to just get shell-shocked and be destroyed out on the mound?
You know, I think bringing up a young pitcher early in the season could kind of help because, you know, teams are kind of just getting into the groove of things. So it's possible that he comes out and has a good showing. But I think in this game, playing on the road in Arizona, I think that we can expect Arizona to kind of take advantage of the fact that, you know, they're going to have a inexperienced pitcher on the mound and put some runs on the board and take control of that game.
Yeah, that's something I think that usually will – it's a little alarming to see a young guy like that coming in. I don't know if it's just being a White Sox fan. If I got used to seeing young guys making their first starts against the White Sox and suddenly the White Sox just forgot their bats at a game, I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning is, but, you know, I tend to think that pitchers coming up for their first start or for one of their early starts tend to go better than probably what they do. I should probably pull some stats on that, but that's the way I'm viewing that one right now. We've got Atlanta has been kind of a surprise going down to Miami and winning the first two games of that series. So we've got the last game here. It's the third game. Atlanta's going for the sweep. They have the newly arrived Shelby Miller on the mound. Marlins are going with Kohler. Kind of like the Braves. I like them plus 122. I don't think I'm willing to trust. This is one of those games where I'm going to pass because, like I said before, I expect most teams to win 2 out of 3 or lose 2 out of 3. But when it comes to that rubber match, I'm usually not going to bet on the team going for the sweep. So I think the smart bet is the Marlins, but I think the smarter bet is to just stay away from this game altogether. We've got the Nationals and the Mets. Jason DeGrom, he was a pretty good surprise for the Mets last year. And I don't know if he was a surprise or not, but he was definitely a guy to like if you saw the way that he was pitching. So he's going against Justin Zimmerman, who is just a stud on the mound for the Nationals. Nationals lost the first game of the series the other night. How do you like the way the Nationals have set up their rotation this season?
You know, I have not paid much attention to their rotation as of yet, but I mean, what you're saying is spot on from what I've read in the news. I haven't done much study on my own, but I mean, it looks like you're heading in the right direction with what you were talking about. And, you know, the Nationals have kind of been up and down with their rotation the past few seasons. So this looks like it could be a bounce back year for them.
Yeah, they're looking like they may have something going here. So I do like what they are trying to accomplish. The Max Scherzer signing definitely showed that they are serious about competing right now. Another one that I am looking at is, let's see, get the line up here. We have Andrew Cashner going for the Padres against Brandon McCarthy on the Dodgers. I like Cashner. I like the plus 118. I don't know how I feel about the Padres. This is the rubber game. They split the first two. So, you know, there's a very good chance that that the Padres could take 2 out of 3 in this one. You know, Cashner, former Cubs guy, he went over there in the Rizzo trade. How is your feelings about that pitching matchup? Do you think that either of them really is that much better than the other one?
Yeah, I don't really feel that either one of them really has that much of an advantage. You know, like you said, they already split the first two games. It was a big deal for the Dodgers winning that first game with Jimmy Rollins making his homecoming to L.A. So this one, for me, is kind of up in the air. I do like the lineup that San Diego's trotting out there with Matt Kemp and Justin Upton. But like you said, you never know really what is going to happen with that pitching matchup with Cashner and McCarthy. So I kind of like the Dodgers myself.
I'm really, really torn on this one. Yeah, I like the Dodgers. I don't think I like McCarthy. That's my problem with taking them in this spot. And I would like the under if it wasn't McCarthy, but I think 6.5 is just too low for a game with him involved. So I think you talked me out of playing it. We're going to pass on that one. I know I was talking about the Brewers line earlier. It's currently at -137. So people are buying the Rockies, and that's a bold move. I don't know how I feel about that. Especially, I just don't think the Rockies are going to sweep this series. But, you know, we'll see if Willie Peralta has what it takes out there. Pineda going for the Yankees against R.A. Dickey. Yankees -126. I don't think I like this one, although the over looks kind of appealing at 6.5 runs. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be able to keep the Yankees down two games in a row. We've also got Baltimore at the Rays. This one, the Rays are favored, -117. I like Baltimore in that one, but I'm probably going to stay away from it. White Sox versus the Royals. We have Quintana going against Duffy. Royals are favorites. They're -119. I think the under is the best play in this one, -7.5. Now, Samardzija got blown up the other night. We all know that Jeff Samardzija has the tendency to get blown up somewhat regularly. So do you think that was more a game where the Royals' offense was just a juggernaut, or do you think that was a Jeff Samardzija blow-up that just kind of got out of hand?
Yeah, I think it could be a little bit of both. Like you said, Samardzija does have a tendency to get blown up. Kansas City is kind of, you know, wanting to start the season off on a high note where, as last year, they kind of flew under the radar until the playoffs started. And, you know, people thought they were going to fade out, and they just made that magical run to the World Series Game 7. So I think it's a little bit of both in that game. I kind of like Duffy in this matchup. But like you said, I think the best play in this game would probably be that under 7.5. You know, the weather's kind of kind of bad. So you don't know what you'll find in Kansas City this time of year. But I like Duffy in that matchup, and I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
Checking out the weather right now to see if they're even going to have a game going. I really hope they do, mostly because I have a bunch of White Sox going in my lineup tonight on DraftKings. Looks like that game might not even get going. So let's hope that weather holds off just enough so they're willing to go out there and play. Thank God they're not using metal bats. Indians, Astros. The Astros surprised the Indians in the first game of the season. Indians were favorites. They had the reigning Cy Young Award winner on the mound. He pitched 6 no-hit innings, still lost the game. His offense wasn't able to get going. Carrasco going against Feldman in this one. Feldman did have a nice ending to the season. He was you know, kind of back and forth throughout the year and then really caught on late and actually had some decent numbers when you look at his season as a whole. Indians, -123. I kind of like jumping on the Indians again here just because I didn't feel like anything happened in that first game that would make me think the Indians aren't a better team than the Astros other than the fact that it was just a great pitching duel. Over-under is at 8. I could see this going under again. I mean, there was only 2 runs scored in the first game. I could see 8 runs being a little too much here. It looks like it may even be creeping up over 8 soon because the juice is at -120 for the over. Do you like Cleveland in this spot going down to Houston, or do you think Houston actually is a team to beat in the West?
You know, I could see Houston kind of being a team to beat in the West. I mean, that was the lowest scoring game of opening day. So I think the under would probably still be the best play in this instance. But Cleveland did make some moves in the offseason, so maybe they turn things around this game. But I think the best bet is to play the under of 8 in this game.
All right. I can go with that. I can get on board with that one. Two really good pitchers out there. So, you know, I think we've seen a little bit of a trend in the first two or three days here that, you know, a lot of games have been low scoring. So it's probably going to continue the first couple of weeks while these bats get warmed up. Let's talk about two more games. Let's talk about three more games real quick. First one, Texas versus Oakland. I like Kazmir. I like the A's bouncing back and having a nice win here. They're minus 155, so, you know, you're talking about not a great payout, but I think right now in the season all we're trying to do is get a little bit of traction, get a nice little win streak going and cashing some tickets. Next game, Angels versus Mariners. Ikuwama going for the Mariners, who I like. Shoemaker, also I like going for the Angels. Mariners are favored, minus 131. I feel like there's a good pass. Although the under is looking – see, the unders are looking good again. This one's at 7. Little bit of a lean with the juice on here at minus 115. So I could see us going under with the Mariners. I could also see the best play of the night being the Red Sox-Phillies over. Over-under is at 7.5. Porcello for the Red Sox, Harang for the Phillies. I know the Phillies didn't have a whole lot of anything going offensively in that opener, but they're going against Porcello, who I don't think is that great. So, I mean, if he gives up two or three runs, it's not going to take the Red Sox a whole lot to get over 7.5. The juice is playing plus 110, so we may even see this go down to 7. If this goes down to 7, is that a guaranteed over to play right now, given those two pitchers?
Yeah, I think the game is about to get underway, but, yeah, I think it would be the best bet to play.
All right. Well, if it's about to get underway, we probably won't take it down to 7, but that is something to think about. So, all right, our official plays for the night, we're going to go Cleveland because I like the minus 123. We're going to go with the Brewers at minus, if you got in earlier, it's about 145. You get in now, it's minus 137. And the last one that we are going to go with, let's go under 8. On the Cleveland-Houston game. Actually, you know what? Let's not go with that one. And the reason I don't want to go with that one is I don't want to double down on a game that, you know, if it goes bad for Cleveland, suddenly we're just a little overextended on the same game. So let's go with under 7.5, Chicago at Kansas City. You good with that?
I'm good with it.
All right, sounds good. Well, Catracho, thank you again for joining us. Again, make sure you guys get down on those soccer plays, get down on those NBA plays and these MLB plays. So that is what is going on. Thank you guys for listening. For the Red Light Sports Network and Cover That Spread, thank you, Catracho. I am J.A. Make sure you guys get your bets in on time. Good luck tonight, and may the spread be forever in your favor. Take care, guys.
Good night.